It's your daily dose of Donna. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, March 13th. We have officially hit the middle of the week. It all goes, I say, uphill from here. I know that this is one of those things that you go up to the middle of the week and now you're supposed to go downhill. But I say right now is we're at the base. Now we go up. Thursday, Friday, those are the happy days of the week. But today we do have some happy, fun stuff to talk about. We have a lot to get into with last night's Vanderpump Rules. I watched that Watch What Happens Live, which I thought was so good and gave us so much good stuff, plus the after show, which is on Peacock, and I want to talk about that all, in addition to the Paris Hilton, Mauricio Umansky feud that is giving me life, and a little bit more on Kate Middleton, plus a couple other things with my guest, Jenny Blaze from Bravo and Blaze. I'm going to bring her up in just a moment. This is Daily Dose of Donna. Welcome to the show, everyone. You guys listened yesterday. I asked to get subscribed if you're watching on YouTube and if you haven't hit subscribe, and it's working. It is working. So I don't know if it's the Kate Middleton talk that I'm just capturing a new audience, or a lot of you guys are finally coming out of your shell and saying, it's not going to hurt me just to hit the button subscribe, but it worked. Welcome, everyone. Last night, I had such a fun night. I did a Zoom happy hour with my Patreon subscribers. We talked about all kinds of things. We'll cover some of those thoughts today, but we got to, you know, talk all about everything that was on all of our minds yesterday. There's so much going on in this Bravo landscape. I'm going to bring up our guest, Jenny, in just a moment. But first, I want to shout out the first sponsor of today's show, and that is Robody. So if you are on the path of losing weight, there's a lot of great ways to do it, but lifestyle is the most important way, plus some help. So if you are looking to lose some weight, Robody provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. The Robody program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Ro to help them lose weight. So why don't you make it 200,001 or 2 or 10? Average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to ro.co/Donna. That's D-A-N-A. Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/Donna. And here is my guest, Jenny. I'm going to become like a radio, you know, like an announcer. Jenny Blaze. Welcome to the show, Jenny.
You are so amazing. I just have to say, I first found you on YouTube and you're everything. I just love everything you do.
I was at my workout this number one. Thank you. And I was at my workout this morning. We were doing arms. It's a weightlifting workout. And a lot of my dose, there's a couple dosers that are in that listen to the show and I know that they work out with me. So shout out, but I was doing all these arm workouts. And then in the middle, she kind of gives you different things between these like really intense workouts. So she gave us this little like thing where you, I don't know how to explain it. You put your hands on your head, you lift your knee and you do like a cross body thing. Yeah, it's an oblique situation. Exactly. But I was jumping. I was doing a bounce. And she's like, what is happening there? How do you have so much energy? And I said, it's all the crack that I take every morning. You don't? So Jenny, are you an energetic person? Do you consider yourself that?
I think doing what we do is what gives me energy. I am so passionate. I get so into all of this and I love to talk about it.
You do get passionate, and I'll tell you why I know that. Because Traders was on last week, and if I can be honest, your comments were on every post I ever saw, because I think that you are very upset about how MJ was treated, correct?
Yes. Well, I was. I have gotten over that. I thought about it some more. I didn't realize that the gamers had this kind of strategy. I just didn't think that existed at all. And I even said on one of my reviews, I was like, I know that there's a faithful traitor that exists. That's like Phaedra. Then you have like the traitors who are like Dan and Parvati, who will, you know, throw you under the bus to save themselves. And so I was thinking, you know, is that the case with faithfuls? Are there like faithfuls, which we know there are.
Yeah.
But are, I said explicitly, I was like, there, I don't think there is such a thing as a unfaithful faithful. And then to see the ending, you know, my mind was blown and it took me a couple of days to really process. And I never have any hard feelings about a game. Like, that's why I love the traitors, is because we can get so passionate. It's a controlled environment and we can leave it there and move on with our lives.
And it hopefully doesn't bleed into real life, although we saw that it did for MJ. Like, she was pissed. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Did you hear her podcast episode with Tommy?
No, should I? Do I have to?
It's worth it. And you could skip like the first half, but when they start talking about the traitors.
Give us the gist of what she was saying.
Essentially, she said she, you know, has no regrets and she would have played the game the way that she did. But Tommy, I love Tommy. He was not really showing any empathy towards his wife. He's like, you didn't play to win. You deserve to lose. Like, he just kept like kicking her while she was down. And it was so uncomfortably hilarious to listen to. It was like watching your parents fight or something, but they're way more funny.
Tommy is such an interesting, I couldn't imagine being with a Tommy, but he always just said what was on his mind. Like, he has no filter, right? He's really that kind of a person. I do think it's a game and Trishel and CT deserved it. I do believe that at the end of the day, but you know, we'll have to see how it shakes out. MJ is going to be fine. She's at the end of the day, if you think about the money, I mean, it's a lot of money, but it's actually not
but
a lot
it's
of
not.
Money.
Yeah.
After and taxes and after all the things.
Yeah, I agree. I'm so with you because I'm like, during that Haggis mission, I'm like,
oh my God, Haggis.
I say Haggis.
Can someone
for
tell
everything.
Me what Haggis means?
It's actually food. It's like a Scottish meal.
Why did they say it really so good. Much?
That was their safe word because for that mission, they were in that cabin. They were locked in.
Yeah.
And
they had to say Haggis.
They had like maggots, rats. They were spraying stuff on them through the window. We don't even know what that was. Is maybe piss. We don't know.
But, and they said it smelled really bad.
Yeah. And I was just like, this is definitely not worth it for me. I would give them $20,000 to get out of there. Haggis all day long.
Okay. So I have a question for you. We're going to play a game that I have not created and I'm thinking of it on the fly. And everyone, you guys, all of you watching live right now or not live, just comment below. You know, I would like to know. The game is going to be called Haggis or Not Haggis, meaning do you want to escape the situation or can you handle it? Okay. You are on, you're in a small car with the Tres Amigas, Shannon, Teresa, and Vicky, and they're in a fight. Haggis, or can you handle it?
I think I could handle that, actually. I think it would be entertaining.
Okay. You have to have a sleepover with Joe from Vanderpump Rules.
Oh, my gosh. Haggis, for sure. All day. I get weirded out just watching her.
I can't wait to talk about this. You have to be in a TikTok dance with Mauricio Umansky. I know you're not a big Beverly Hills fan, but could you do it?
Yeah, I could do it.
Okay. You are offered cocaine by Andy Cohen. Haggis or no Haggis?
No Haggis. What? Andy sounds like a really good time, just saying.
Guys, I have to share something serious. This is a real deal thing, and I can't believe I'm going to say this on the show. I had a dream last night. I didn't even tell my husband this because I thought he was going to get weirded out by it, that I was not only in love with, but dating Andy Cohen. And I knew that in my dream, I was like, I know you're gay. And he's like, I know I'm gay, but we still were like kissing and making out. Why? Why was I? And I like had a really, I had the hots for Andy. And I don't think of him that way ever. It's not like he's my, it's not like Craig Conover. Like I
no!
have my,
okay,
no.
We disagree. I am all for thinking Andy's hot and Craig is no for me.
I'm sorry. You would choose to sleep with Andy Cohen over mm-hmm. Craig Conover?
Yes. And
Jenny, I'm concerned. I'm concerned.
I'll tell you why. I have a reason.
Tell us.
Andy is, I forgot what they call it. What's a guy who's never had sex with a woman, but he's...
Oh, I'm sure someone in the comments will know.
There's like a name. Yeah. So he's one of those.
He's a virgin from women.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
And so like I would take that as like an honor.
You would be so proud of yourself that you finally got him to,
yes.
to do that. Okay.
I would wear it as a badge.
Gold star. Gold star.
Gold star. Yes. Gold star.
I'm wondering, like, I'm thinking, why am I getting a gold star? And then I realized, no, they're just answering your question. So I will say, Andrew says a platinum gay. So I will say that Debbie said Andy's a nice Jewish boy after all. So that does deserve some, you know, points here. But I am Team Craig all day, every day, top to bottom. Give it to me. I love Craig.
I have another reason why Craig would not be my choice. So I
You don't like an entrepreneur that sews pillows?
No, I love that. I love
okay.
that.
Right?
But, and I never talked about him on my Instagram or Twitter or anything like that. And one day someone sent me something. They're like, this is so funny. And I'm like, I can't see it. What is it? I am blocked by Craig Conover and I take deep offense to that. I feel like okay, it's well, super unhinged. I've never
moment of silence for Jenny Blaze. Craig, you got to get Jenny. Okay, you must have said something at some point.
I mean, I think I only said something one time because I remember being like, I don't talk bad about Craig. Like, I love Craig. But when he started dating Paige, and I have like this weird loyalty towards Paige because she's from the same hometown as me.
Okay.
So I'm like, wait, Paige is way too good for everyone, including you, Craig, especially since you blocked me. So that's just how it has
I have to laugh because, you know, okay, can you share with the audience about, if you know anything about this, the blocked by Jax thing, how people get blocked by Jax very easily. Do you know anything about this?
He has not blocked me. And okay. I feel actually, I have a pretty good relationship with Jax.
Because, you do?
Yeah, because I never really interacted with him before Scandoval. And after Scandoval... Actually, no, it was before Scandoval. We started interacting a little bit because I was live with Blocked by Jax on Instagram. I don't know if you know her, but she's hilarious.
Okay. And I know of the account, but I don't know her.
Yeah, she started her account because she got blocked by Jax. So that's
it's
her
so
handle.
Genius.
And she's so hilarious. And she went live with Jax one night. And I was, my mind was totally blown. I'm like, this is so meta. What the hell is going on? And then I'm live with her. And then Jax was just very interactive that day. And so we established like a rapport and like.
So she's not blocked by Jax clearly anymore.
I don't think so.
No, I'm not blocked by Jax. You're not blocked by Jax. But the funny thing about this is the fact that you mentioned you're blocked by Craig and you don't really know why. The funny thing is last night I did this happy hour Zoom with my Patreon subscribers. And one of them was Anne-Marie. She literally just commented right below. And I think this is so funny. She lives in Scotland. She Anne-Marie has never, ever written anything to Jax. And she is blocked by Jax and she's dying. She's like, I don't understand with her Scottish accent. She's like, I don't understand. I can't do it. How am I blocked by Jax? And I just thought it was the funniest thing that this woman in Scotland is blocked by Jax. And she's like, I've never interacted with him. Like Jax is literally just randomly blocking people on random accounts.
Oh my gosh.
It's so really funny. Interesting that he does that. We're going to talk about Jax a little bit because he came up in last night's Vanderpump Rules. And it's very, very smart the way that they're just kind of integrating the Valley into our lives. Like we didn't ask for this, but it's coming. It's coming in. Okay. So now that we played Haggis or No Haggis.
I love that game. I really do.
It was a great game. But someone, Tracy, I believe, said that she like explained what Haggis is. And it's like sheep and liver and some disgusting, awful things together. And so I don't want to gross you guys out. I would imagine it's similar to like saying, what's that Australian thing that a lot of people find very unappealing on bread, on toast? Vegemite?
Oh, yeah. I think
like it's
right.
Like Vegemite. Spam or Vegemite or like one of those things that are very like people have very, very opposite feelings on.
Like cilantro. Pate. Oh my God. Don't get me started on cilantro. I hate cilantro with a passion.
Oh, it tastes like soap to you.
Well, you know, I don't know if that's how I feel about it. I feel like it tastes like what I would imagine gasoline tastes like, but I don't know what gasoline tastes like. I'm just assuming it tastes like cilantro.
Don't you find this, you guys, so interesting how we all taste things differently? Like you should think, but that's just the way it's also with podcasting, because you've been doing Bravo and Blaze now for how long?
Well, I started the podcast, I think 2 years ago now.
Okay. Yeah. And you go and you do, you release how often? Once a week or twice a week?
Yeah,
or what?
I try to do once a week, and I have like seasons. So I try to take off time when my kids are, you know, off from school. But
how old are your kids?
Oh my gosh, I have three. The youngest is 3. Then I have a 5-year-old and a 14-year-old.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So this is like, this is so fun. I love that because, you know, I'm a mom too. So it's nice to have that in common, that we're just, we're parents, but we're actually still like in high school, that we just talk shit for a living.
Hey, we're human.
Yeah, seriously. Oh my gosh. It's so interesting. You guys, the cilantro comments, people are very, they take it very, very serious.
There's a club. We have a club. I hate cilantro. There's a ihatecilantro.com.
It's a real thing.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. When like cilantro haters meet other cilantro haters, instant besties for life. We never forget.
Oh my God. It's like a real, that should be on a dating profile. Like if you're dating someone online dating, it's like cilantro or no cilantro. And if it's a no cilantro, then you know, like we could actually be a match. It's like, forget religion, forget sex preferences.
Yeah.
It's all about your cilantro. Actually, I have to say, and this is a side note, food choices are very important for dating and being married. Like if you don't like the same kinds of foods, if I was married to a man who didn't like sushi, it would be a deal breaker. Yeah. That's like the majority of my life.
Yeah.
Sushi is behind that sushi bar. All right. Okay. Let's get into last night's TV. Well, let's do this. This is the plan, guys. We're going to talk about Vanderpump Rules because Jenny is all ablaze when it comes to Vanderpump Rules. And then I'm also going to talk about a little bit, because she doesn't know the whole story about the Paris Hilton and Mauricio Umansky drama that Sonia Morgan also randomly got wrapped up in yesterday. So we'll talk about all that. Just a note for everyone, as of this moment, Wednesday, March 13th at 11:20 a.m. Pacific time, we have still not located Kate Middleton. She was, even though some people think she looks like Jenny Blaze.
I thought when they showed that picture of her in the car, I thought it was me. I was like, why are they posting this picture of me and why am I in the car?
Wait, the side profile one?
No, it's the one straight on. I think she had glasses on.
Oh, with her mom. No, she wasn't driving. She was, maybe she was driving. I thought she was a passenger. I don't know. Okay. So you thought it was you, and it could be you at this point. Like, we don't know.
I don't know what's going on with the Kate Middleton stuff.
Did you hear John Oliver?
God, I love him.
Okay, so watch what happens live last night. John Oliver was the guest. We'll get into that. It was a great episode. I rarely sit through entire Watch What Happens lives, but between Ariana and then John Oliver in a Brooks Marks jumpsuit.
I died.
This man... So How do I get my husband on board to not only like The Housewives, but like know the trivia of The Housewives? Like, let's get there.
I was so impressed. I was so impressed.
His wife is so grateful for this. Now they have things to talk about at dinner.
Yeah.
Like, what do you like? If not Housewives, what are you talking about? Okay, so let's get into last night. So Vanderpump Rules, how have you been feeling? And we haven't talked about this before today's episode, so we don't know exactly how we feel about each other's things. You guys know I have strong opinions. I imagine you do too, Jenny.
I do.
Okay. So tell us in general, how have you liked this season? Not last night specific, but the season.
So this is the first season I've ever watched where I was basically stalking, filming so closely. I've never done that before in my life.
Because of Scandoval, obviously.
Yeah. I was covering Scandoval. So I'm like, what's going on? Oh my God. I felt like it was still going on. So watching it back is very strange for me. And I'll be honest, I'm a little confused because I'm like, wait a minute, I remember this, but like, you know, we're watching a different produced version of it now. And so it's interesting because I've always been just like, you know, a regular viewer.
Yeah.
Take whatever I get when I see it, but it's very strange for me. I am loving Katie's BDE. I'm kind of obsessed with her BDE.
So Katie's BDE, she literally says in the show yesterday, big dick energy. We're going to talk about Katie. I have yet to see a more polarizing person on that show.
It's because so weird.
Half of the world can't stand her and half of the world loves her. So it's interesting. Her. Okay. So in general, but obviously are you, do you hate Tom Sandoval? Are you okay with Tom Sandoval? What are your thoughts?
Well, he drives me nuts. It's hard to watch him. Actually, I stopped reviewing on my show. Like, that's why I love coming onto other people's shows to talk about it. Cause I'm like, no, I cannot do this. I just out of principle, but I love talking about it. It's not fun to make fun of him anymore, really, because now we're getting to a point where it's like, he's not progressing. He's not evolving. And so it's kind of sad. And I don't know. I have been saying, I hope that this is the last season. And not because I think this season is bad. I think this season is good, but I would like to end it on a high note for the people that we want to root for. And like the Toms, they're...
So who do you want to root for? Who are you rooting for on the show?
Obviously Ariana and Katie. And I'm really rooting for everyone. James, Allie, Brock, Sheena, Lala... It's really just the two Toms that I'm not.
The two Toms. So Schwartzy as well.
Yeah, Schwartz. He's on my list.
For sure. Okay, Schwartz or Sandoval, if you had to pick one for you.
To do or what?
Haggis.
To punch them? No, I'm just kidding. I do not condone violence. Haggis for Sandoval. Like, I cannot be around him. I had an encounter with him at BravoCon, and I had to get up and leave because I'm like, nothing good will come of this.
You saw Sandoval and you had to get up and leave. Were you worried that he was going to say something to you or that you were going to attack him?
Oh my gosh, Donna. It was the what weirdest happened? Thing. I was talking to Captain Carey outside. It's just us two. There's like a tiny below deck group. Kate, Colin, Fraser, Captain Glenn, and like maybe one other person. There's like these long benches. Nobody else is out there. Okay. And I'm standing up talking to Captain Carey. Tom Sandoval comes outside and sits right in front of me and Captain Carey talking and with his kilt and his legs spread out. And I like had to stop what I was saying. And I just leaned in to Captain Carey. I was like, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to excuse myself. I really don't like this man. I just walked away.
Do you think it's like, is it something triggering in your own personal life? Because that's what I wonder with a lot of these people that are so upset with Tom. Like, did they go through something similar? Did you?
You know, I didn't go through this type of scandal or anything, like cheating with a friend. I just don't like that he did this so audaciously. I think that's the part that bothers me because literally there are cameras there. For a human being to do what he did on camera is unfathomable to me. I can't understand it. And it's so diabolical too. It's not like he's doing something cool behind the scenes to trick us and be like, look, this is a great thing. No, it's like really insane and dark.
Yeah, I think, I mean, there's no question that there's a part of me that wonders like how, because I really have talked to a lot of people in similar situations, not exactly this, obviously not on a reality show or whatever, but something does happen with a lot of people when they're in this moment where they get kind of almost like taken over by emotion and like they're not seeing straight. It's almost like being under a drug.
Yeah.
Like he was not thinking clearly in those moments. And he was also under the influence a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably why he was under the influence a lot of time, because it made his bad decisions feel a little bit easier to swallow. Yeah. Because when you're, you know, when you're over drinking or maybe doing other things that are taking you out of your reality, it's like, It's kind of like forcing you to be like, everything's okay. This is okay. We're good. We're good. And he was probably just denying the reality of what he was actually doing. Now, I'm not saying Sandoval had any, he wasn't right in any way, but I do believe that there is some like science behind why people do crazy things.
Oh yeah.
In love.
Oh, 100%. I think there is going to, or maybe there should be, some kind of new diagnosis of some kind of disorder of what we're seeing with Tom Sandoval. Because I do think him being on reality TV for 10 seasons has affected him in some way.
No question. No question. All of these people, like, we don't know the long-term effects of, you know how they say, like, social media for kids? Yes. We don't know the long-term effects. Mm-hmm. Ozempic usage. We don't know the long-term effects. Mm-hmm. Like, all these things. And when it comes to reality stars that not are, because we're used to, like, the ones that, you know, from season one of Real World, right? Now they're older. It's been 25, 30 years. But they were on one season of a show that was not as big as any of these shows. Mm-hmm. It's a very different thing when your entire life is being filmed. And what does that mean for later? And where will they be in 30 years? Like, I don't know. Yeah. I was saying, I think this with Ryan Bailey last week, I can't remember who I was talking to about this, but I was saying, I can already see like the E! True Hollywood story of all the housewives or all the Bravo stars at 70, 80 years old. Like what happened to them?
Oh my gosh. Yes.
We're producing it. okay. So it's really interesting. I think, you know, for anyone in the comments, there's a lot of people that are so sick of hearing about this, you know, the anger towards Sandoval and I get it. I actually am too.
Me too.
But I think what's hard is we're watching him do it. Like he's not showing us a lot of the things that we really wish we were able to see. But last night was the first episode I felt that wasn't heavily focused on Sandoval. We did have a little bit of Sandoval, but it was actually more focused on the women. And I actually really liked that. Yeah, we had like the guy scene when they went and ate the barbecue or the whatever meat. And we had a little bit of Sandoval and Lisa talk about when Raquel blocked him and stuff. But in general, I felt like this was a really interesting episode because we got to hear a lot more about all the things the women are going through, which to me is more interesting, I think.
I think so too.
So for just to kind of like go through the episode, you know, the majority of the episode, well, I noticed this. Did you know? Okay, let's start over. Sheena, what are our feelings on Sheena this week or this season? I have my thoughts. I've said it before. What do you guys think? Or what do you think?
It's really hard to watch because it's so on brand for Sheena that you would think that there would be some self-awareness and like tone it down a little bit. Like the jabs towards Ariana for Dancing with the Stars is not a good look at all.
It's really the Dancing with the Stars conversation with Lisa was maybe the most cringe moment I've ever seen of Sheena ever to be like, I already was taking dance classes this year, assuming it's almost like buying your prom dress before you've gotten invited to prom. Like, let's calm it down.
But she did that with her wedding dress.
Oh my God.
To Sedona or wherever they were for Raquel and James's engagement party. Remember?
Oh my God.
They were supposed to secretly get married and she had the dress already.
She is like the queen of, you know, putting the cart before the horse or whatever. Mm-hmm. So she, you know, for sure, she's already bought clothes for her unborn son. Like, it's already in her closet.
Yeah.
So that was embarrassing to say out loud, to be like, I was taking dance class. It's not like the producers said, we're choosing either Sheena or Ariana and you guys have to audition. And she was up for the role. Right. I don't think there were even talks about it. Like, it's really strange.
It's a weird thing to turn into like something to be about yourself. Like, hello, Ariana is having her moment. Like, let her shine. It's like going to someone's wedding and being like making it about yourself.
Totally. Like, why wasn't I married?
Yeah.
It's a very, very, like, and by the way, everyone's allowed to have these feelings. Just don't say them out loud. Or say them like to your husband when the cameras are not around. Yes. That's the thing. Like go to Brock or go to your mom and be like, I'm so jealous. Like I'm jealous, you know, but to say it out loud, you have to wonder how it's going to be, you know, taken. And Ariana talked about this on Watch What Happens Live last night, that she was basically saying, you know, what was she saying? She was saying something along the lines of, I feel that I've heard some things that Sheena has said this season that have given me like some bad feelings, basically all those jabs that you're saying.
Yeah.
But Ariana's take on Dancing with the Stars was, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, yes. Which means if they've come after me and I did well on the show, maybe they'll go to Sheena. Do we think Sheena will get on Dancing with the Stars?
I do, actually. I think she's going to be on like the next season. She put it in the universe and she's manifested it. I think it's going to happen. If not this next season, someday she will. I feel strongly in that.
What if they went out to Lala? Like, what would happen to Sheena?
She would lose her mind. And who knows? Oh my gosh, she would probably, she'd become real unhinged.
I really hope that she does not go on Dancing with the Stars because it's going to give so desperado. And then Ariana is going to be forced to have to go to every show and support her.
She can't. She's too busy on Broadway. Her show got extended, which I didn't know until last night's Watch What Happens Live. So that's cool.
Yeah, she's doing really good right now on Broadway. I haven't seen it, but I hear everyone saying that they wouldn't extend her unless did you see it?
Yeah, I went opening night and she was phenomenal.
Wait, for real, she was good. She was like a Broadway level good.
So I did a review on this on my channel, but there was like one shaky part, because I'm just being honest. But to her credit, like it was her first opening number. She's doing a solo on a ladder, also trying to look cute. Like I don't think I could have done that. So despite that one little shaky part, she crushed it. And I think that first part was really just nerves. I mean, it was like literally everyone's quiet, the curtains open, and she's got a spotlight on her on a ladder with one arm doing choreography too. I'm like, I'm scared she's going to fall.
Was this was her opening in the show?
Yeah.
This was opening night, opening number. Like, let's give her a little benefit of the doubt. Yeah. But I don't believe any Broadway producer or any, you know, production is ever going to extend someone's run unless, A, they're amazing.
Yeah.
And B, they're making them good money, which clearly they are.
She is. I mean, she's breaking records. Chicago's the longest running show on Broadway in history.
20-something years.
Yeah. And I think that's by design. And I said this in my review, like, let's be honest, you know, there's a difference between the other Broadway performers in the show versus this role as Roxy. She still has to be amazing, and she is, and she did. She crushed it. But, like, there's a number where there's five other dancers, like the professional Broadway people who are always there. I think they did splits, like, in unison with no hands, like that kind of stuff. I think is
you can't do that, Jenny.
I actually can.
Okay, Kyle Richards.
I can swing my pony too.
Okay, wait. So Joe says, did Ariana have a longer run than Erika Jayne? Yes, for sure. I believe, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Now, last night on Watch What Happens Live, Andy made a mention that he asked the bartenders who happened to also be in Chicago, who of the Bravo stars, you know, in which order are the best? And he said that Ariana ranked very high on the list. But other than Erika Jayne, how come I can't think of anyone else? Who?
Lisa Rinna was on.
Anyone else that we can think of?
I don't know, but I've been trying to manifest Phaedra.
Can she sing?
I don't care. I don't care. I want Phaedra as Roxy Hart after Ariana's done with her thing.
Would that not be the most amazing?
Oh my gosh, I'd love
like
that.
Phaedra needs something all about Phaedra. I don't know what is next for Phaedra, but it's got to be something big.
I am going to see her on Saturday in New York City at a drag brunch, so I will ask her.
Stop it. Is she just a guest there?
She's hosting it, I think, and she has like a meet and greet and everything. And I've been posting saying, my dream is for Phaedra Parks to read me for filth on Saturday. Like, please.
Okay, I can't wait. I'm going to be, you guys follow Bravo and Blaze on Instagram because she'll be posting all about it. So exciting. Okay, so a couple other big things that happened on the show. We had this conversation between Lala and Ariana regarding the picture that Sheena took over on in Tahoe when she took the picture with the crowd for a fan's birthday, and she happened to be next to Sandoval. And wait, I do remember this.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt, but is fan an accurate description of that person? Because I remember when this happened, she never saw the show ever. And then after the picture, she like blew up on social media and then started a podcast. So
the girl who took the picture?
Yes. And I don't know if she's still going, but I will never forget that.
What? She got really thrown into the storyline here.
Mm-hmm. She's really living it up right now. I hope she's still going.
My God, that's so funny. That is so funny. But Lala basically is taking Sheena's back big time in this episode, many times actually in this season. I have to say, I love Lala. I really do. I don't know why. There's something about her, not all things about her, but yesterday in last night's episode, I did find a lot about her very redeeming. And I think both things can be true. I think her standing up for Sheena and saying, you should say something to support your friend who's getting dragged for you online. And also understand that Ariana is like, well, you put yourself in that mess. Like, you did it. What do you think?
I mean, the way that Lala described it when she's like, Ariana's just sitting there scrolling, like, that made it seem like, okay, maybe she should do something. Because Sheena was really upset. I remember from like our side watching it, and I'm like, damn, Sheena is livid right now. Like, people are really coming after her. And I thought it was funny at the time because I'm like, if I was in those shoes, I don't think I would give a fuck.
If you were Sheena.
Yeah, if people were like, oh my God, you're in a picture with Sandoval, I'd be like, yeah, and? So, like, we're on the same show.
But you're not Sheena. Sheena is not like us. Sheena doesn't, I mean, I'm a sensitive bird. Sheena is a huge millions of followers type of person that is watching her mentions on Twitter. Like, that's crazy. That's crazy. No offense, but like, that's over the top. Like, she's very invested in public's opinion of her, I think.
Yeah, it too much.
So
unnecessary.
Do you think that Lala had, did she have an argument about Ariana, you know, supporting her? Or do you think that was not fair? Like, Ariana shouldn't have to have done that.
I don't think Ariana should have to. I think it makes sense for Lala to say something, but she also didn't have to come off like, you should be doing this. She could have just been like, hey, Sheena's like really upset. And like, maybe if you just post something, like, it'll help, you know, like, I don't know. It didn't have to be so aggressive, I feel like. And Lala is like that. So yeah. I don't know if that's really her, if she's like trying to put on a show. I never really can tell.
Yeah. It was interesting when Ariana said like, but I don't want to be involved in any of that. And Lala's like, you don't have a choice. Like, you can't. And I was like, well, she kind of does. She kind of does have a choice to whether or not she wants to be involved whatsoever with Sandoval. And I thought it was also interesting, and we haven't really thought about this perspective, that Ariana said, if he gets in with Sheena, which is like the weakest link, if he gets in with Sheena, then he gets in with Lala, then he gets in with James, and he gets in with all these people, like, I'm going to get iced out. And I never really thought of it that way. I think Ariana is a little concerned, like, keep Sandoval away because he's the enemy and I'm the good one. And if you guys bring him in, then I'm out. Yeah. I can't be in this circle anymore.
Yeah, this is feeling very traitors-like, and I'm loving it.
It really is.
Yeah, that's so true. Because yeah, it's all about the numbers. They need to banish Tom Sandoval.
They really should banish Tom Sandoval. Murder or banish. I don't know. Both.
Yeah.
You know what? Knowing Tom Sandoval, he would get murdered and show up at the round table the next day. Right?
He's bust down that breakfast door. He wouldn't even knock.
He would beat up Alan Cumming in the background and like put on his kilt.
You totally steal all of Alan's clothes. 100%.
Literally, can't you just see Tom Sandoval getting murdered and still showing up at breakfast?
Yes, he would.
Yeah, oh it's gosh. Amazing. And he's like, dude. Okay, so then
to murder me, but I'm still here.
Yeah, he's like, God, why do you guys hate me so much? So, and Schwartz is like, I love you guys. No, I'm the traitor. I'm the traitor. I'm going to take one for him. Okay, it's me.
You would do that, yeah.
Tom would. Tom Schwartz would say he was the traitor to save Sandoval. Okay, so then of course, we have this rooftop dinner, the most strangely connected dinner, of course, between Christina Kelly, Katie, Lala, and Sheena. It's like, okay, let's get a bunch of girls together to talk about Sandoval. I mean, that's really what that was. Why wasn't Ariana involved? Like, that was so strange, that dinner.
Yeah, did they explain that? Why she
no,
wasn't
no
there?
One said why she wasn't there, why she wasn't invited. It did feel a little bit weird, and it did feel a little bit produced. Like, let's get these girls to talk about the Tahoe trip without Ariana there. So that Katie was like alone in her fighting back. Now, what did you think of Katie's reaction to talking about Sandoval? Because she got very angry.
I loved it.
You did.
I love that BDE that Katie's delivering. I felt it poking me through the TV screen.
Her BD was poking you?
Her BD. Mm-hmm.
Was it like in the eye or was it somewhere else in the body?
First the eye.
Then the heart.
Then the ear because I, you know, turn my face.
Do you think that, okay, have you always been a Katie stan though? Because this is like, there's the cilantro crew and the no cilantro. And then there's the Katie and no Katie crew.
Yeah. So I never disliked Katie ever. And I didn't realize that people disliked her so much. And I'm like, now that I'm in the space that I'm in, I'm like, what is wrong with everyone? Like, Katie is, she's the voice of reason. She's been abused on TV by Sandoval. We've watched it. Like, hello.
McFly. Do you think, I find this really interesting. Her position against Sandoval is so strongly angry and pissed. And it seems like upon like first, you know, watching this crew, it seems like, wow, is she the only one that has Ariana's back here with Sandoval? However, you guys, you have to remember, Katie and Sandoval have had an awful friendship through the years. I don't know if you've ever dated someone or been married to someone who has a best friend who hates you. It's the worst. And if you go back and watch old episodes, so much of Katie and Tom Schwartz's drama was surrounded somehow around Sandoval and why, like the things Sandoval would say about Katie and the things that, you know, Schwartz would say that Sandoval said and vice versa. They didn't like each other. So Katie is harboring a lot of resentment of her own that has nothing to do with Ariana. But it's looking, I think it's coming off that she is the only one that is standing by Ariana. But I'm like, bitch, no, she just hates Tom Sandoval and is so happy that he finally is getting what she deems he deserves.
Yeah. Like, hello, everyone's finally waking up to see how Tom Sandoval is a monster.
But because of that, and now I'm going to play devil's advocate because I'm not a Katie fan. I find Katie incredibly negative every season of every single. We've seen her for 10 years and never once have we seen her happy. Something is up there. But also, she, to me, you know, the devil's advocate part in me is saying she doesn't have a neutral leg to stand on because she never loved Sandoval. She never had that strong friendship with Sandoval. So, of course, she's going to hate him. When you hate someone, this just gives you more reason to hate him. But Sheena does have that positive relationship with Sandoval from before. So for her not to have – I don't like how no one has that sympathy or empathy, I should say, for Sheena's position here because I have lost friends, guy friends, you know, and it's very hard. It can be very hard, even if it didn't go down in the right way. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I mean, is Sheena putting too much weight into her past with Sandoval? He literally said, I barely know you. When things blew up and she keeps holding on to this one moment of, oh, those first walk-ups, he included me. And like, you could tell that was really touching for her, and that's great. But like, is that really something to hang on to? This
nope.
Like at this point in time, it seems
no.
I
will tell you, I think Sheena is dying for the storyline to be about her. I mean, really, I don't. I think that if Sheena had to choose between Sandoval and Ariana, she's going to choose Ariana in a heartbeat. So the breakup of her friendship with Sandoval is signifying something else, like daddy issues, maybe, or like something else that is bigger than this. Maybe it's the loss of her friendship with Raquel that's like kind of being triggered in those feelings. Maybe it's about, you know, her relationship with the guy, Rob, or whatever, who could hang a TV in 7 minutes, like something, wow. or Mike Shea, maybe like her ex-husband, like maybe there's something there that is just kind of triggering these abandonment issues, or I don't know, because it is very strange how serious it's as if she's talking about, you know, like her brother, someone that she really, you know, was enmeshed with, which she never really was. I mean, she was just like his little sister, like at parties. It wasn't like they were braiding each other's hair, but maybe they were. I don't know.
Well, you know, Sheena thinks everyone's her best friend. And the way that this group uses that word makes me laugh so hard, because I'm like, what does that mean? You guys are all each other's best friends. Like, so who's the best friend? Because there's got to be a ranking if you're using those words, right? The best and the worst.
I know. Like, exactly. I don't want to be one of your 36 best friends. Crystal Minkoff.
Like Ramona, I also, with the 55 friends. 50
right.
Friends.
I also think it's interesting about, you know, we do one of the comments, and he says, or production saying, be friends with him. You know, we do have to remember that producers are involved here, and they're forcing Sheena to talk about Sandoval at that dinner. I don't think she would go there to talk to Christina, Kelly, and Katie about Sandoval, but she's like, okay, this is a scene that we have to talk about Tahoe. We have to download, you know, Tahoe to these girls. So, of course, we're going to talk about it. So we have to always remember that. This is a show. This is a show.
And that's a good segue into a strong opinion that I have these days, where I blame everything on Alex Baskin.
Ooh, that is a big stance. You tell us why. Alex Baskin's the executive producer of Vanderpump Rules, in addition to other shows.
Yeah, he's... he has all these shows that are big shows, and I can't even keep up with all of the Vanderpump Rules stuff. This man somehow seems to fit it into his schedule to become a podcast host for Bravo's paid podcast. What is it called?
Bravo's Top Mic.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, he has nothing to do. He wants to add this to his resume. Like, what is going on? Another thing about Alex Baskin that not a lot of people know is that he is the grandson of Baskin Robbins. Mm. And he even named his company 32 Flavors.
Yes.
And I feel like that information changes a lot. Because why is he doing this?
Well, it's really interesting. I've thought about this a lot. I think he's kind of gunning to be the next Andy Cohen.
You think so?
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking for. I need to know the goal. So I'm so glad.
I don't know. I don't know.
At least. Yeah. It's weird to me. Like I blame Alex Baskin because he's the one who is producing all of this. He's the one who's calling the shots, and he's enabling Tom Sandoval's behavior. Or is he complicit in allowing this, like, psychosis and spiral? Because we've seen 10 seasons of him just like looking crazy.
Yeah.
It gets worse.
Yeah. It's really, I would love to be a fly on the wall in production, like in the story producers' rooms this season before they started the show. Like, what are the goals of the season? Where do we want everyone to be? What do we want the audience to believe? Do we want the audience to turn on Ariana? Do we want the audience to love Sandoval by the end of the season? Like, it's interesting, the whole dynamic. So let's just cover a couple other things that happened. Mm-hmm. We got introduced finally to Joe. Now, Joe is the hairstylist, on again, off again, kind of serious, not really serious, F-buddy of Schwartz. She moved into his apartment right after he moved out with Katie. And we all kind of had heard about her because everyone, mostly Katie, had said that she's a nut, right? Like, basically, she said she's crazy.
She's Kristen Doty's crazy friend. And that says a lot because we've seen Kristen Doty And actually, oh my gosh, I don't know if you've seen this, but I interviewed Dan Giesling of the Traitors.
You did.
He grew up with Kristen Doty, and he told me a story of when he went out to visit her in LA. She was dating Tom at the time. Vine was big back then at the time.
Like the Vine was the original TikTok, basically.
Yes, yes. And Tom and Kristen were teasing each other to get it on Vine.
This is before Vanderpump Rules.
I think it was like the first season or something.
They were hazing each other to become viral on Vine. Well, that explains everything. Guys, if you wonder about what who these people are on these shows, that explains it all. This is giving those like people that do these incredibly stupid things just to get a couple hits on TikTok. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, that's ridiculous.
I mean, so, it's so on brand for them, I feel like.
Right, right. It's crazy. So then what about, okay, what about, let's talk about, you know, Joe's energy. We do get to see Joe one night at Sir for this really strange forced hangout with Ali Bally and James Kennedy. No one wants to be there. Like, well, maybe Joe wants to be there, but no one else feels like they want to. Like, Ali is so cautious and wary of all these people, every single one of them. Like, Ali is all of us,
yes.
Like looking at these people, her. Like, what is wrong with them? Right?
I love Allie. She's so great. She's amazing.
It's she says what we're all thinking, which is
actually,
like,
we should get her to read Joe's birth chart to see maybe we can get some answers.
Because, I'm sure she has. Oh, I'm sure someone has. So Joe's energy is odd, like very big, very kind of friend zone vibes. Very
skittish.
Skittish is a good word. I did see a comment from someone saying, hey, it seems to me that she has, you know, some tics or what's it called?
Tourette's?
Not, I don't want to like put that out there, but someone said where it seems that she has some of these kind of this energy. So maybe like be kind if she does. I don't know. I'm not in any way, you know, I would never, ever judge anyone for having any sort of like tick or anything. It's more, more about just your personality.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting though, if she does have some kind of like diagnosis, it would like help put me at ease when she's on TV. Cause like, I guess for me, what scares me the most is not like ghosts and stuff. Like I'm scared of people who may be off a little bit. It frightens me.
I get that. I get that. And especially when we don't really know them and we're kind of confused, like who are they in this situation? And like, whose team are they on? Now, one thing I did notice, she goes out for drinks with Tom at the exact same place, actually, that Sheena went last season. I don't know if you remember Sheena and maybe it was Allie. Sheena and Allie went for drinks last season at the exact same bar here. It's on La Brea in Los Angeles. They go to this bar. They decide in the middle of the day to take a shot of tequila and a beer. I mean, I don't understand this behavior because it looked like a Tuesday, but whatever.
It was weird.
So they're sitting there and they're chatting, and there's this moment where they become alien
robot alien.
They're doing robot talk and they're making sounds and like it's the most insane thing ever. And I even posted on my Instagram like, this is, you know, how you embarrass your kids when you're a parent, or this is, you know, when you have your secret language with your fourth grade bestie, or, you know, whatever. But my question for you is, have you ever seen Tom so happy with a girl? Like,
you know, I did notice his inner geek, inner nerd come out in a way that actually was endearing for me to see, because I do want people to live their most authentic life. And I think despite Joe creeping me out, if that brings out the best in Tom Schwartz, like I'm all for it.
I do think in a weird way, you know how you say like, how can you find the right person for someone? I actually think Joe is the right person for Tom Schwartz.
Maybe.
No, I don't want to hang out with him and I don't want to be invited to their wedding. And in fact, I don't even want them to be at the same establishment as me, because I would be like, what's happening over there? Yes. But I think they're a good match.
I think you might be right.
Yep. Yep.
And I
they seemed happy.
Yeah, they did. And I didn't like how, well, it was weird that Joe had a confessional, but she was saying like, oh, I think we're more than friends. And he's like, no, it's platonic, platonic. And that bothered me. I'm like, Schwartz, here you go again, being a wussy pussy. Like, get some self-awareness or something. Like, I don't, what is his deal? He makes me insane.
He makes me so insane. Honestly, I think more than Sandoval.
Yes.
He makes me more insane than Sandoval because Sandoval, at least we see what we're getting.
Yes.
Schwartz is like this big, like enigma of like there's like smoke and mirrors and no one, and then a random like butterfly. And then there's a rabbit. Like no one has any idea what's really happening there, including himself.
He's Someone a battered wife.
Yeah, exactly. Mark says Schwartz is so disconnected from himself. He really needs some intensive therapy and some coaching. And yes. I totally agree. Like, I have never seen anyone so incredibly not able to kind of – I don't think he knows who he is at all. No. Not even from in the slightest. And so he just drinks to get through the days, I'm convinced.
And that's why he is the perfect prey for somebody like Tom Sandoval.
Like, of course.
Seeing that – Tom Sandoval asked Schwartz to move in was really disturbing to me. Like, please don't do that, Schwartz. Like, get out. Like, cut all ties. He's the only one who actually couldn't leave Sandoval. Well, I mean, obviously Ariana too. They have like a house. But he's financially tied to Sandoval with this business. He gave up his house. He gave up his marriage. He gave up his entire life for Sandoval, who goes and throws it down the drain because he doesn't care about anyone but himself. And he uses Schwartz whenever it benefits him. And it's sad.
It's really sad to see. And I understand why Katie would want to run for the hills with Schwartz. Like, that's the one thing about Katie that I'm team Katie on. I'm like, I get it. Now, just let's finish it up at the astrology reading. Okay, whatever. Basically, the four girls join Allie to get their charts read. I am not a super or duper astrology person. I believe that like I am a true Gemini. So I do think that there are certain things. I'm not really that into it. You know, some people are obsessed with like what time they were born and the moon, the sun. But I do find it kind of interesting as a basis to how to talk about just personality types and everything. Yes. What did you think about Lala and Katie going head to head last night? And it was one of the first times we've seen that because Katie basically, Lala was pissed at Katie and Katie held her own against Lala.
Yeah.
Whose team are you on?
That was that BD coming through the screen, popping through, punching us all in the face. It was great. I loved it. And she really put Lala in her place because Lala always comes with the same ammunition. Disengage, bitch. Like she goes real loud and says disengage and gets her finger
going. Gets the finger in the face. Yeah.
Yeah. And like that doesn't get you that far. That scares some people. But when you have BDE, that does not scare you.
I still am team Lala though. I know this is going to be a killer for a lot of you guys, but yes, we do have opinions as human beings. We have opinions and it's okay. If you're not team Lala and you like the show, we will be okay. But I will say, you know, to me, Lala doesn't really have an argument in this case because she literally told everyone, if you talk to Randall, you're out of my life. So it's like, Lala, sit this battle out. You know, there's other things we can battle on, not this one. I did love Lala and Lisa Vanderpump's conversation about her being a mom, though. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was really, really sweet and endearing to see that side of Lala. I mean, I feel like we already kind of knew it, but it was like, I feel like for her, it was what she needed in that moment to like just say it out loud and be confident in her decision because like I'm all for women raising kids on their own if they want to, like, go for it. I didn't realize that there were so many people who are against it. And it's surprising to me that so many people are against it. Like, what does it matter to you? Like,
I don't understand this.
How does it affect them? It's so weird.
Well, I mean, we don't understand a lot of people.
I know. But I really love to see that because I think more people need to see it. And I think she's doing a service.
listen, I really get after going through, because now you're a mom and you split custody? Or yes. Yep. Okay. So you probably can relate to this more than anyone in the sense of like, if you wanted to have more kids, would you want to go through the process? A lot of people do, but a lot of people really say, hey, you know what? Why do I need a husband who's not going to do diaper changes like yes. Randall did? Like, I've got my mom who helps me more than anyone. I've got my brother and I've got a vibrator. I'm cool. I'm okay. And so yeah. like, It to me, it was so sweet when she said, I love being a mom. Yeah. And the fact that she can't really like showcase her daughter on the show yeah. at all because of the legalities. But yeah. now she's going to have – is she having a boy? Did I just make that up?
I don't know if she's having a boy. On the after show, she said she'll know in a couple weeks. And that was obviously a while ago when they filmed that. So I'm yeah. assuming she knows the gender, but I didn't see any like official announcement.
I hope she has a little boy. I don't know why. It just sounds so cute.
I hope so too.
Joe says, as long as Lala verified that the sperm did not come from Jack Schwartz, Sandoval, or James Kennedy, then she's fine. I think we can probably add a lot of names to that list of who, like when you go get a sperm donor, it's not a, you know, look for this. It's like a do not make sure they don't like cilantro. Oh my God. It's so funny.
I actually have this theory.
Jansen.
It involves Paris Hilton actually. So, you know, Paris in Love.
It's a great push.
She got her dog cloned and I knew that cloning existed, but like seeing how accessible it was like blew my mind. And I'm like, I started to spiral. I'm like, people must be doing this with humans. And like, even if it's like on the, you know, black market or something, like this is happening. And then I started thinking, oh my God, are people raising their clones as their children? Maybe that's not a bad idea because that could get rid of this possibility of having some like sperm donor, someone like Lala, if it was accessible enough. Imagine if I would choose to clone myself. I wouldn't get some sperm, I don't know.
So you would choose, rather than bringing in someone else's sperm, you would choose to clone an exact yes. Jenny Blaze.
So, okay, so here's the thing. With CRISPR technology, you can change certain genes. So I could make a little mini Jenny Blaze who likes cilantro.
Okay, this is crazy. Is this real life or you're just yes. making this up?
No, I swear.
Are we like Joe and Tom Schwartz talking alien speak? Like,
beep, no, beep, this boop, is real. Alien robots. No, this
I can
is
clone myself. I'm so confused. Yeah, you can. Did I just miss this article?
No, you totally can. People can clone themselves. I mean, I don't know where, but I'm
here's
sure.
another
I know
benefit
that technology
of cloning.
Exists.
Here's yeah. another benefit of cloning yourself. Can you imagine raising yourself? You can heal your inner child.
Yes, I could be like, yo, watch out when you're 12, because those knockers are gonna come out, and you're gonna have to figure it out.
I could be like, it's going to be okay. You're going to have anxiety, but we're going to be okay. And I'm going to get you through this.
Yes.
I'm going to be like, you're going to get your period very, very late.
Yes.
But you are okay. Oh my God. This is, and then I don't have to go to therapy anymore.
Yes. I just think that's the future. I honestly do.
This is like Benjamin Button shit. You guys, I am very excited about this. Oh
Mark
my gosh.
Said
everyone
he would
is
clone himself and slap the shit out of himself.
You basically give birth to yourself and then you yell at yourself the entire time. Like you give yourself all the anger. How dare you?
Oh my God. There'd be like all these different studies coming out like, oh, this kind of person, they mistreat their clone. These people are really great. Like, oh
and then
God.
My husband is like nicer to my daughter than me. And I'm jealous of me. And I'm like, what the hell? And he's like, I love our baby. And I was like, that's me, bitch. Like it's a whole thing. Oh, this is so interesting. Okay, I mean, I'm learning so much through this Jenny Blaze conversation. Jeez. Okay, well, you mentioned Paris
in
Love.
You can say Haggis anytime.
Haggis, you mentioned Paris. So we're going to get into the next story. Before we do that, I have to quickly shout out Factor Meals. If you can clone anything in the world, you should clone yourself to make dinner. And eating better is so easy when you come up with Factor's ready-to-eat meals. They're fresh. They're never frozen. So we're not talking any of this like frozen dinner, TV dinner of the 80s. This is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go. You have high-protein, calorie-smart, keto, so many different options. There's over 35 different options that you choose every week. 2-minute meals. You guys, 2-minute meals so you can have more time to study cloning yourself. And make sure to go to factormeals.com/Donna50. That's D-A-N-A 50. And use code Donna50 to get 50% off. That's code Donna50 at factormeals.com/Donna50 to get 50% off. I need to clone myself to say those ads because the Donna50 at Donna50 at 50 Donna, Donna50. Mark also says, keep your clone in shape with Factor.
I eat Factor meals. I love them.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
I love them.
I hate cooking. I just want the 2-minute meal. It's healthy.
It makes your decisions for you. For anyone that has like decision fatigue, yes. It's a great idea. Great idea. Okay. So just a little, you know, a little story because we're running really late because I can't stop talking to you about all these things. We have to just mention tonight is Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion part 3. I'm very excited to learn absolutely nothing about Kyle Richards because that's what happens on the show. That being said, we have a lot of, you know, stuff coming out about Buying Beverly Hills, which is Mauricio's Netflix show. He talks so openly about the falling apart of his marriage and his history and the kids. And everyone's talking so openly on that show. So I am actually looking forward to it. But just to give you kind of the background of what happened yesterday, a trailer released of Mauricio sitting around a circle with a bunch of guys talking about him starting in the business. And he mentions, we all knew this, that he used to work for Hilton and Highland. That was his first job. That's his brother-in-law, Rick's company. And he was doing very well for them. And he asked to be up to partner or get some equity and was told hell no, basically. And decided, F this, I'm cutting ties. I feel good enough. Like he was making 20% of the company's commission basically at that point. Like 20% of the sales were because of Mauricio. So he knew that he had the ability to go and, you know, start his own. And he said that 20 whatever years ago, Kyle Richards had his back. She was like 100% go and do it, knowing that it was going to cause probably some strife with her family. Then in the same clip, and this is important to say, he straight up says, I have no hard feelings towards Rick. I have nothing bad to say about Rick. I don't believe anything bad about him. I think he is a good guy, but I needed to do what I needed to do at that time. And I know it was hard for Kyle. And then at that point, that was all. So it was actually not a mean clip in any way towards Rick. He just mentioned the story and Paris Hilton comments. And she said, and I'll find the exact, and this is the craziest thing, by the way, Jenny, commented this on just Queens of Bravo Instagram page. Like Paris Hilton. Yeah.
She follows me on Twitter and
she follows me on TikTok.
I love that.
How are we all so in with Paris?
I don't know. It's so crazy. I mean, she is like the queen of social media.
She really is. Okay. So queen, and that's what I was saying yesterday on my TikTok that like, Paris Hilton is arguably one of the most famous people in the world. And for her to get enmeshed in commenting on Queens of Bravo's That's Instagram wild. Post. That's so she wild. Writes, my father is a consummate gentleman and has always taken the higher road. He would never speak negatively about his family, especially in the press. Frankly, we are all sick of him using the Hilton name every chance he gets to plug his lame show. It is enough already.
No, she didn't.
She did. And what's crazy about that is number one, Paris Hilton and the Hiltons, like they don't comment on this shit. They don't talk about people. You don't see them going out there and talking shit about the Kardashians or about this or about that. Like,
that's wild.
I know. And then Sonia Morgan commented, Paris is 100% right. So the question and what kind of tripped me up about this is it's less about Mauricio because Mauricio and Kyle are clearly separated. And I think that Kathy Hilton has hated Mauricio this whole time. So I think that Paris is finally saying like, shut the F up. My mom hates you.
Yeah.
But Kyle's daughters, Farrah, Sophia, Alexia, all of them, they're on the show too. Like they're big parts of the show. They're series regulars basically on that show. So to go after Mauricio and call it his lame show. It's also going after your own family, like your girls, your cousins. I thought it was pretty crazy. And it was a big move from Paris. Like, I think she despises Mauricio.
This is messy. Oh my
How
gosh. That theory of her hating Mauricio all this time is great.
I think they had to have hated him. No wonder Kathy and Kyle have had such a tortured relationship for so many years. And now, since, you know, Mauricio's out and Morgan Wade is in, Kathy and Kyle are beefers. They love each other. Beefers in a positive way. BFFers is what I'm not beef. Like,
I didn't know that. I didn't know that they have like reunited. I know they've always had like this strain. I don't know what to call it. Is it estranged or strange?
It's but, just really up and down and really toxic.
They're always up and down. And same with Kim. I actually have this theory, and I don't watch Beverly Hills closely. I just kind of like,
you which know, is shocking.
I know. Like, a lot of people are like, what? But okay. I just hate it. I don't know. I don't like it. But I've noticed, I think the Hilton sisters, I don't know if that's what we want to call them, but the 3Ks, I have this theory that Big Kathy was like the OG Kris Jenner. And I kind of think Kris Jenner modeled her family and business life off of Big Kathy. Like, look at Kim, Kyle, Kathy.
All the Ks.
Chloe, Kim, Courtney.
Kendall.
Kendall, Kylie.
And Rob. And Rob.
And Rob and his
poor
socks.
Rob. I think you're completely right. And if you read House of Hilton, which is a really interesting book, it was written years ago. It was written like 10 years ago, so it's not current, but it talks so much about the dynamics of Big Kathy. And I'm so invested in learning kind of like what's really going on between the sisters. And I would love a show with Kyle, Kathy, and Kim. But what I said yesterday is I don't actually think there can be a show because there's no way Kyle, Kathy, and Kim sign on to do a show without becoming executive producers. Mm-hmm. And then you're hearing their version of the story, just like the Kardashians. Like, I want an unauthorized documentary about the three, Kathy, Kyle, and Kim.
Yes, because also I remember Kyle saying once that.
Wait, hold on. Joe says it's Krob, guys. The K is silent. It's Krob. Sorry, and Krob.
Joe is so funny. I saw that before.
Keep going. What were you saying, Jenny?
So Kyle once said something about like, yeah, we used to all sleep in the same bed, like with their mom. And I have three daughters. So for like just trying to put myself in those shoes, like why? And then she would say that they would go to the clubs with their mom. And back then, during those times, I feel like there was some really messed up stuff going on in Hollywood.
Hell yeah.
I fear that they have suffered some serious trauma from their upbringing. But like, I want to know all about it.
No, 100%. Like, we hear crazy stories about, you know, if you read that book on Kindle, don't buy the hard copy because it's so expensive, but Kindle, it's like an average price. It's like 10 bucks or whatever. You guys, it's really interesting. And even just the beginning, because the beginning is really just about Kathy's mom and that whole side. And then, you know, Big Kathy, and you hear kind of all of her theories around finding the right man for your daughters and that, or you know, telling her daughters to get involved in the industry early, find the right man, you know, get a rich husband, essentially. It's all very interesting. And then you have Kyle, who put her daughters on TV from a very, very young age. It's like we're repeating behaviors.
And didn't Kathy run away and marry her husband? She like ran or left home when she was 17.
Yes, but I don't think it was a runaway situation. Now I can't remember. I don't think it was like against. I just remember hearing one story that Kyle said that Kathy had learned from Big Kathy to always make your house smell good, like you're cooking. So one day Rick came home and Kathy and Rick had just been married. They didn't even have kids yet. And he was like, yum, it smells so good, because she had put onions and garlic. She started sauteing onions and garlic. He said, what is dinner tonight? And she goes, oh, I don't. We're supposed to have dinner. Like, I just made onions and garlic because I know it smells good for the house. So it's really, to me, I find it really interesting. Yes. I don't know specifically, but the dynamics of the Kyle, Kim is a little bit like floating in the wind, but to me, the dynamics of Kathy and Kyle are beyond interesting. And having Paris Hilton, which she knew was going to take a get press. If you're going to post this, it's going to get press. Going
do we
against,
think she did it? Like, what did she actually do that, or did somebody get hold of her phone? Because that
I mean, it's not erased; it's still there.
That's wild. It seems so out of character for her, like online behavior. She's
which
like
is always
the online
like
queen.
I know, and she really doesn't go low. We never see Paris go low. So that's why I'm saying I think this is big. I think this is a big 20-some year family feud that is finally getting its moment in the light now that he's actually talking about it on TV rather than – I think he mentions it in his book, but he's actually talking about it on TV. And the fact that Paris said this, she doesn't give any fucks about him anymore, clearly. Like Kyle is so away from him that there's no concern, I don't think, about – you know, like any reconciliation. Yeah. Meanwhile,
like
Mauricio's
out.
Yeah, and Mauricio's up on some sort of ski mountain doing Texas Hold'em dances on his TikTok. It's tricky. It's like the whole thing. But I can't wait for tonight's reunion. We'll have to see how it goes. And then, of course, Love is Blind reunion tonight. I don't know if you were into that, but I'm into that. My audience is loving Love is Blind.
I need to catch up on it. I watched like the first 5 episodes, like the whole Megan Fox thing. And
yeah.
What's up with Michael? He is scary as hell. Like, oh my God.
It's good. It's really good. I can't wait to watch that. We'll, of course, talk about that tomorrow. Jenny, where can people contact you? You're so smart and fun.
Oh, thank you so much. I am at Bravo and Blaze on all social media, predominantly Instagram, but also Twitter and TikTok. And then on YouTube, I'm at Jenny Blaze. And if you want some Haggis merch for yourself, you can go to bravoandblaze.com.
I love that, Jenny. You're awesome. You guys, make sure to subscribe to her channel. Follow her on Instagram. All you'll see is comments of her talking about how MJ got the short stick. MJ got the shaft. I hope you have an amazing Wednesday, everyone. And I will see you guys tomorrow. And that is that. Thanks, Jenny. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
See you tomorrow. Just a sec.